My elementary school had a yearly speech contest. It would be always a unit, part of the curriculum or curricula. I don't know if people are saying that anymore. Every year, even like from first grade, it would start. And you would do your speeches. It had to be whatever. It would always change if it was like a minute and a half, 3 minutes, and you had to research it and do a rough draft. Remember the rough draft? That was a big thing. You got maybe even get a friend to edit it, which was really just a performance and a way to waste a day so the teacher could get through the actual editing in much better order. The rough draft. Ooh, that should have been the name of this podcast. The rough draft with RJ City. It would have sounded so hip. Anyway, they would always do that, and then you would have to get up in front of the class and you would have to do your speech, and they would time it. I remember the teachers would stand there with a stopwatch like it was some sort of Olympic event. And if you went over time, my, you got marks off. It was very, very incredibly intense. And then they would score you. It was a little, the teacher, I remember she would sit in the back and she would score you on this little sheet on time, research, diction, preparedness, all of these things. It was incredibly, incredibly intimidating. And not only that, but you had to sit through everybody else's speeches. And some were just, of course, very bad or about horrible topics or whatever. But I always took them very seriously. As a child, this was like a brief moment to do stand-up in my mind. So I always worked very hard on them. I can't remember what I did every year, but I remember very early on, it was very abstract, very avant-garde. I was the Big Bad Wolf, and the speech was from the Big Bad Wolf's perspective. These pigs are coming down and they're trying to, you know, I just wanted to get in. I just wanted to get in and see these pigs, and they're very mean. They won't let me in. This kind of thing. I don't know if it did very well. Nevertheless, I remember doing it. I remember kind of always doing well in the speeches because I liked speaking and I worked hard, and I think the teachers enjoyed my adult references. Adult not in the sexual sense, adult in the Lawrence Welk sense. Adult in the you would have to be dead to understand them now sense. Anyway, you would do this every year, and if you won your classes, you would get to go on to, you know, maybe the whole grade would have a little contest, and then I think they broke up. My elementary school was like grade 1 to 8. So they would do like grades 1, 2, and 3 would have their own like all round contest. And then 4, 5, 6. And then I think 7 and 8. That makes sense. Yes. So anyway, grade 5, I had a teacher who loved me. Her name was Miss Hart. Or maybe it was Ms. I think it was Ms. Hart. I don't want to delve into her past relationships. Anyway, it was Hart spelled the Bret Hart way, so immediately a fan of hers. She was a fan of mine. She liked me and my work and my comedic sensibilities, shall we say. So I thought, this is a year I can hit a really good home run. I did my speech about comedy. A little bit of the history of comedy, the styles of comedy, and different comedians. And not only do I remember the speech, I remember it very well because I have a tape of me practicing the speech at home. This is how seriously I took this. With my parents, and they would be giving me notes. This was a big deal to me. This was a you cannot mess this up kind of situation. I do remember I did an impression of Rodney Dangerfield, Billy Crystal, Steve Martin, Milton Berle, and maybe Jim Carrey, I think, for the sake of being modern. I think I might have, I fall down in the middle of it, which was something he used to do in his stand-up. So I delved into, you know, Jim Carrey's stand-up. This is the level of research I was doing in the fifth grade. Anyway, I was raring to go. The tape is good. Watch the tape and you go, this is a pretty good as a child? Like, what a strange thing. It's strange for me to talk about Milton Berle now. People are like, how do you know Milton Berle? Me in fifth grade, basically the same person. So I'm raring to go. I do the speech, and it's broad. It's a little bit of every kind of comedy, so I think everyone can enjoy it. In the class, it lands the way I want it to land. It kills, shall we say. How old are you when you're in fifth grade? I don't know, you were 10 or something? I don't know. Anyway, they loved it. And I was a little chubby back then too, which I feel like gave me a good comedic edge in a Sid Caesar kind of way. And Ms. Hart loved it. Loved it. This was like the greatest thing she's ever seen in her life. This was her version of seeing Eddie Murphy raw, as far as she was concerned. I got at least a 95. I flew past this. I was on time. I memorized it. It was a tight act, is all I can say. And cleaned up in the class. And she was just so confident. This is her, the player, the star player on her team, shall we say. Put me in, coach. I am ready to do my speech about Milton Berle. And we did the whole grade. We did that contest. I easily won that. So now I'm feeling like hot shit. You know, I got this under my belt. This is a big deal for me. And then we go to the school thing. So I think it was grade 4, 5, and 6. So the top, I don't know, maybe it's the top 3 or top 2 from each grade get to do their thing. But like the whole school watches. And I went to a Catholic school. And the best thing about a Catholic school in Canada is different from like a Catholic school in the States. Catholic school in the States is, for all intents and purposes, a private school. A Catholic school in Canada is a public school. So it's basically just the same as a normal public school, except they teach religion instead of music. So we had no recorders, but we had Bibles. That was basically the difference. And then when they wanted to do a big mass, they would do it in the gym. They would put these blue mats down. I guess those were the pews. And they would put like a cardboard cross on the basketball net. And there we are. We're all of a sudden in the house of the Lord. Please don't shoot any three-pointers. So then anyway, the whole school is there, basically. All the teachers, familiar with the teachers, I've developed a good rapport for myself. I do this speech, and up to that point, the greatest performance of my life. I am flying. Better than that speech has ever been done before. I am elated with myself. Ms. Hart is elated with myself. Everybody is in love with this speech. So I'm hitting everybody. It's, of course, funny for children. It's funny for the adults who are judging. And of course, they had a panel of adults. This was some sort of, you know, public access American Idol. That's what it looked like. Incredible. Incredible work. So they do all the speeches, but I'm feeling like, babe, it's a lock. We are flying here. And there was another speech by a guy a year older than me. So he was in the 6th grade. His name was Dylan. I guess I can say real names. He didn't do anything illegal. I'm not alleging any impropriety. I think it's okay to use his real name. And his speech was about his younger brother. He had a brother who was younger than him, maybe in first grade, maybe in kindergarten. Adorable child in the spanky, chubby baby way. Everybody loved this kid. He's so cute, right? So the kid was already a lock, you know, working the room with people. The kid wasn't there, but people knew who this child was in the sense that you know who Baby Yoda is. That's kind of how this kid was regarded. And the speech was about, you know, oh, I'm an older brother and I got jealous, but then I realized I love my brother. This kind of shit. Okay, fine, whatever. We get to the judging, and the judging is scored, and they announce 3rd place, which is not me. So then it's now the top 2. So it's me and Dylan sitting on a bench. Which means at that point, they don't announce the 2nd place, which sucks. They announce the winner. And they announce Dylan. And I was shocked. And I was crushed. I was just so, especially in front of all these people. The worst part is, They're all cheering now this person all of a sudden, but they were cheering me. I did the work. I did the good job. What happened? I thought it was a lock. And I wasn't the only one. Because we go back to class, Ms. Hart pulls me aside. She says, I want you to go to the principal's office right now. And you ask the principal, how come you didn't win that speech contest? It felt like an episode of The West Wing. I was walking up and down the halls. And she was so upset that she immediately called the principal and was like, you have to meet with this kid and explain it to him because I don't understand it. I don't understand why he won and I don't he doesn't understand why this other kid won. So you need to go explain it to him because I don't quite understand. So I remember sitting there and I remember the principal go typical strong pantsuit. I have a poster of Hillary Clinton type of principal. And I remember her going through all the notes of my speech and Dylan's speech. And the one knock on mine was that there wasn't enough research and information. First of all, I call bullshit because I had to research the comedy that these people are doing. I don't just pull a Rodney Dangerfield joke out of thin air. You have to research, you have to understand, and you have to emulate the man. That's an incredible amount of research, number one. Number two, Dylan's speech was about his fucking brother. How much research does that take is what I want to know. Absolutely none. It was kind of a bullshit excuse. And I understand now that the politics of the way these things work is that the oldest age bracket is the one that wins, right? If it's grade 4, 5, and 6 all competing, grade 6 will have the winner, always. And, you know, 4, 5, and 6, they want you to come along. They want you to earn it. Because if someone in grade 4 or someone in grade 5 win and then the 6s are upset and it's a whole scandal, they feel like the 4s and 5s, you know, they can take a hit. They can handle a loss. They can eat a loss while they're developing, right? I understand the politics now. I understand these politics because I had a friend who was, I think, Miss Canada or Miss Teen Canada, and she explained the politics of, like, you have to be in the system for a couple years before they let you be a winner. You have to show humbleness and humility and blah, 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 which is totally gone at this point because Ms. Hart has my back. And now we're sticking it to the principal. And I was crushed. The fix was in. It felt like just a huge political scandal to me. I was so distraught and upset, and I feel like, you know, I was screwed. I was screwed by the man in a pantsuit. And the next year, I did a speech, I believe, about the Loch Ness Monster. Okay, fine, whatever. You want some research? Here's some research. And I remember closing it, doing an impression of my grandfather. We're trying to catch Nessie, but we don't have a big enough hook. That was the closer or something. And I ended up winning. I won my class. I won the school. And then I went to the district. And it just wasn't as good as the previous speech. And my heart wasn't in it. I did okay. I think I came in 3rd or 5th. But by that point, the magic was gone. I mean, I hit a home run and then it somehow didn't count. And now I'm here and I'm just like, my heart is simply not in it anymore. Yet, as I always do, I held a grudge for years and years and years. And one year, when everyone fully became adults, Dylan decided to run for office in our town, the town that I grew up in, the town that I lived in, that he lived in. He decided, local speech winner does right. I'm going to run for office. I think he ran for the Green Party. What a good kid. And my grudge bothered me so much that is the first time I ever voted, just so I could actively vote against him. So, the moral of the story is that even in animosity, heartbreaking, soul-crushing animosity, I still believe in democracy. This has been more content with RJ City.